Hey everybody, Stephen here. Hope you're going really well. I wanted in this episode to kind of give you a bit of history about myself and my journey to finding out that I had dyslexia. I think it gives you a bit of an idea about why I'm doing this podcast, where I think it's going to add value to you, and it may, hopefully it'll give you a bit of insight into my life and how it works. Excuse me. So I wanted to just have a bit of a chat about it. So when I was really young, I always had trouble in school. The teachers never thought I was stupid, as far as I'm aware, or what I can remember, but it didn't mean that I didn't feel stupid. And my family, when, you know, we're from New Zealand, my father got offered an opportunity to move to the Middle East. He got offered some good, coin. That's why I think people move to some of these countries. And all in all, we ended up following him over there for a few years. The benefit, I think, of that was in New Zealand at the time, they didn't really look at dyslexia. They didn't really understand it. It's only in the last 10, 15 years, they're starting to understand that it's not as much of a, it's not so much a disability. It is just a different way of approaching things, and it's a different way your brain works. So back in those days, New Zealand would never have picked up that I had dyslexia, but I was very lucky when we traveled overseas that the school I was at was a private school. And in that school, one of the teachers, a guy called Trevor, who we ended up becoming good family friends with over the years, he noticed that verbally I could do a lot of things. I was relatively intelligent. But the minute it came to writing that down or copying from the board, I had serious challenges. You know, I'd come home to my mum with headaches. There was just issues across the board, and I was feeling really dumb. I don't know if you've ever felt that way, but, you know, I just didn't feel smart. I didn't feel like it was worth trying. I was just getting sick of the whole experience. So, it was a shit time. I think I've blocked a lot of it out because it was a bad time in my life. But, so they sent me along to this learning help center to do some testing on me. You know, I think I was a guinea pig. You know, they prodded me, poked me, did all those little bits and bobs. And what came out that I had a high IQ. I was quite intelligent, but I also had dyslexia. Yeah, so I found out I had dyslexia, and you know, to be honest, as a kid, I had no idea what that meant, but they explained it in the best possible way they could to me about what I actually had, what it meant. And you know, one thing that really touched me when I was chatting with my mother recently is she always remembers after it happening, me coming to her and saying, "Do you know what's really interesting is that I don't feel stupid anymore. I know why I'm struggling." And I think, honestly, being able to diagnose it young with dyslexia, you don't have that, you know, it's a massive thing. You know, you actually find out what the challenge is. And, you know, I think we all go through life looking for different things. And if you can find out a bit of the why something's happening, it helps lead you to the what, or it should, even if it's over time. So, you know, that was really valuable. But in those early years, everyone was focused on reading, writing, and for me it was tracking. I really struggled to read stuff on a board and then copy it down onto paper. My handwriting was atrocious. No one could read it. I could barely read it. It was, to be honest, a waste of time. So they ended up giving me notes that were written down, and that was really awesome. And so for the next few years, that's kind of what happened. We left Saudi Arabia, moved back to New Zealand, and I continued life. Dyslexia wasn't really recognized in New Zealand, so there was not as much help available. So I pretty much carried on until what we call sixth form. I'd say I was 15 or 16 at the time, and I'd started failing exams. I was doing terrible. I was put in the special English class. If anyone's been in that, it's not a great experience. It was actually probably more fun. You know, I found the special English class was more visual, so it probably actually did work for me. It just had a bloody terrible name that the kids and everyone associated with. So it was actually probably a benefit. But what happened in the end is my mother was a huge advocate for dyslexia. And so she pushed for me to have what's called a reader-writer. Now, if you've never heard of that, what that basically means is a teacher sitting with you in an exam, reading out the questions and writing down the answers. And what started to happen with this is the reader-writer who was working with me said, I can't keep up with what he's saying, he's so quick. And it's something you'll find with dyslexia, it's a real visual thing. So your mind works quicker than people who don't have dyslexia because visual recognition is quicker than word recognition. So it can from memory, it's about 5 or 6 times as fast. It can be its biggest plus and its biggest negative. But what I really looked at is, what's really important with it is to know that, where am I going with this? You know, that you're not stupid if you've got dyslexia. And that was the thing I kept being reassured of and learning. And that's how I got started with it all, is that, you know, I managed to pass my exams and keep going. But once you get out of school, everything changes again. Yeah, so that was high school. But what happened after high school? And again, I'll go into some of this more detail about my experience as an adult. And this is really what this podcast is about, is touching on how dyslexia affects adults. Because, you know, there's a heap of stuff for kids and reading and writing. And that's, you know, I think dyslexia is terribly, terribly represented in what it actually is. It's probably getting better now, but for years and years, it was a reading and writing disorder. You're bad at spelling, you're bad at grammar, you're shit at all these things. And I kind of, I thought that. That's what I thought. That's all I understood it as. So for years and years as an adult, I never even considered it was what was my biggest challenge. I tried meditating, I tried going to events, I tried learning the latest and greatest techniques for finding me. You know how those things go, and you're looking for this kind of this why or this thing, and I couldn't find it. Whatever I did, you know, there were little things that helped, but they never really got to the root cause, and I always felt lost. And it wasn't until I actually started doing a course recently that I understood why, or why I was challenged. And I'm still going through the process of that course, so I'm going to keep updating everybody on this blog about how I'm learning and changing, because it's an ongoing process. You never get rid of dyslexia. Dyslexia doesn't get cured. It is something you need to manage, understand, learn, and progress with. And that's kind of what this blog is all about, is I want to help adults realize what dyslexia truly is, and realize it's not just reading and writing. It's not that. That, to be honest, can be solved using smart techniques. I was lucky I learned how to touch type in school. I still think that was the best thing I ever learned, especially because computers were only just coming in when I was in school. So that was the best thing I ever learned. High five for whatever teacher got me into that class. And also, like, using apps these days, I use Grammarly, which is awesome for checking my grammar. I've kind of used tools, and dyslexics are great at finding solutions to problems because we're very creative. One of my teachers calls them old solutions, and it's sometimes the reason it's so hard to diagnose adult dyslexia, because dyslexia is different for every single human being. There's no one thing that says you are a dyslexic. There are definitely more common things, but everyone's version's different, and the way we've handled it is so, so different. So many adults don't even realize they've got dyslexia. And kind of, like, I solved a lot of those issues, so I thought pretty much dyslexia was off the table. It wasn't the problem, wasn't the challenge. But what I've been learning, you know, the way it affects concepts that I don't understand, it's, you know, Vanessa, who I'll hopefully get on the podcast at some point, talks about it like this. It's like a filing cabinet.
as a dyslexic, you've got all these things in your filing cabinet, but there are holes missing. And so the way you process things and the way you look at the world and perceive the world is very, very different to other people because you don't understand certain things. And it usually affects your identity. Your identity isn't quite what other people's are. And it's why you feel lost. It's why you feel not quite right. And you can't even put your finger on why you don't feel right, but you just know there's something else there. So I'm going to be exploring some of these concepts in more detail. I'm going to be looking at a variety of cool things that I hope will help you succeed. So stay tuned. I hope you like it. If you like this podcast, make sure you favorite on Anchor or on iTunes. Reviews are great. And give it a share. Get some more people listening. Feedback is great. If you want to know something that I'm learning about dyslexia, just shout out. You can send me a voice message on Anchor or anywhere else, and I'm happy to answer questions. Yeah, I just want to, this is just a bit of fun for me. I just want to help people and kind of document my experience as I learn more about this and how I start to solve it. And I hope it adds value to the wider community.